Commissioners, the next item of meeting is the Governance Committee of the Erie County Water Authority, and I'll call the roll. Chairman Shad?
Here.
Vice Chairman Kearney?
Here.
Treasurer Jones?
Here.
And the next item on your agenda?
And then there's two ad hoc members. I'm an ad hoc member. I'm president, and Secretary
McCracken is absent.
He's absent today.
Very good.
I'll move to waive a reading of the minutes of the last governance meeting held Thursday, February 21st, 2019.
Second, and I have a...
Any discussion?
Yes. At the last meeting, we reviewed and discussed the and approved policy number 92 with regards to hiring. And I just want to get the certification on this. It's in the minutes on page 3, I guess, or page 9. The minutes start at page 7. Where Mr. Shad suggested that the conversation was, I brought up the fact that it didn't cover the other items that were in the original resolution that this board has been passing for years with regards to hiring policies. Chairman Shad suggested that because the policy, believes that the policy already deals with promotions, and in review of that, I believe you're right. But I just want to know if we're going to get some kind of clarification on that once this is implemented, that if there are job changes, that it goes through this process.
I think the reading of the policy would pick up any promotion because we always post. And so
on the promotions.
On the promotions, just as we do on others, on new hires where somebody has left. So that would trigger policy 92.
So you believe that's just an interpretation and not something that should be in the policy?
Let's talk about job changes. If it's a promotion, the job is posted. If we're going to promote within, then it would follow the same process, okay? So that's covered by the policy. If it's a change because we create a new position, okay, we can't create, no one can create a new position without the board approving the creation of that new position. And the Civil Service Commission. Once the position is created, any hiring would follow this policy. As far as other job changes, termination, suspension, leaves of absences, not covered by this policy. Okay? So those types of changes in the job is not covered by this policy. Okay?
And that was all I
had. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. And the motion is to... Is it to waive the reading in minutes?
Yeah. Correct.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the May 31st meeting 2019.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. There are no reports. There are no posted communications and bills. Under unfinished business, item 6, T11, amendment to the authority's code of ethics relating to conduct of commissioners and former commissioners, item number 7 of the June 28, 2018 meeting.
Now, with regard to this tabled item, since we have the revised things under new business, I suggest we take this off the table and just dispose of it. Is there a motion to remove from the table?
I'll so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor of taking the item off the table?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The matter is now off the table. and the issue here is there a motion to recommend this old draft by anyone? Hearing no motion, the item is received and filed. We can move on to new business.
Item 7, new business. The first item on your list, commissioners, is code of ethics. And I believe this will be reported on by Ms. Murphy.
All right. Well, gentlemen, as you know, we've been going through numerous drafts. We denailed those drafts. You've made changes to that. So what we have is the code of ethics and the conflict of interest policy for you to review and to recommend to the full board for approval. The second item that we have is an in-house financial disclosure statement. That internal financial disclosure statement is something completely new, something we've never done before. Everybody has reviewed it. There's changes we want to make to it, but we like to get that out to the positions that have been identified in the code of ethics as to those positions that would be filling that out. Finally, we have provided you with two lists. The first list is the list of vendors who that would be given to each person who is required to fill out an in-house disclosure statement. They have to attest or affirm in the financial disclosure statement they have reviewed that vendor list, and if there's any conflicts that arise due to their personal or familiarity relationships with those companies, they would have to identify. The companies that we chose were companies that do substantial business, and that brings me to the second list. The second list are vendors who we've done business with in 2018. There's a number of people that come under that term vendor that we're pulling the information together. They're not truly vendors. For example, we provide health insurance to retirees, and we pay them, we give them a check. There's other employees who get other kinds of benefits, reimbursement for travel, etc. All those people are in the no list because they're not truly vendors of the authority. Those are the payments of obligations that we have. We also took off every vendor who has less than $250 that we have paid last year. We did that because under the procurement guidelines, anything under $250, you don't have to receive, you don't have to send out for bids or seal proposal. And as far as procurement of other goods and services, anything under $250, you can select without having to get three quotes. So we took anybody who was under $250. The next group that we excluded were large corporations that we have no influence over. So if we do business with Staples or Office Max or companies of that nature, there's no one within the authority who can in any way influences the prices or anything. So we removed large corporations that we have no control over their pricing and the quotes that they give us. But other than that, you will see in those two lists the vendors who we will require people to look at and determine if they have any kind of connection, whether with themselves or with family members. And then that list is part of what would be given to them as part of their in-house disclosures under the financial disclosure standards.
How often are these lists updated?
Our vendors don't change drastically. There might be small vendors but we will update this annually. And we use this list for the year for anybody who, a new hire. So a new hire will have to fill out a disclosure statement, but they will be relying on this list that was generated for last year. And then next year we'll generate a new list. So given the amount of work it took to kind of go through and sort everything out, we thought that was best. And if there's a new vendor who's of substantial size, we can always, you know, if you see a new vendor that you're approving in a contract and it's identified by engineering or by legal, this is someone we've never done business with, we can always do through resolution an addendum to put that name on the vendor list until the new list comes out.
Well, given the volume of vendors, someone in the know will have to alert us if there's a new vendor.
I agree. And I think Karen and I both can do that. I think most of the time when we're looking at blue sheets and looking at things that are going to be approval, especially contracts, big vendors usually are contract people. So if there's someone that we've never really contracted before, with a company we've never contracted before, you know, we can even, if we want, we can identify that and make it part of the resolution. This is a new vendor to the authority, and we can make part of your resolution of approving a contract, and at the same time, add them as an additional name to the last list until the list is updated.
Well, my reading of the policy also would require anyone you know, if something came to their attention, a new vendor was accounted, they'd have an obligation to disclose it anyway, even though it's not on the list.
The form, yeah, that.
It was.
We're really talking about a small window annually where we could have somebody, but the one question on compensation or interest is not limited to the list, even though it says you have to read the list. The representation is that you're, it's what you, the signer, is aware of, so I think we're covered on this. And if, and we have an annual list, I look at it every year myself to see what our group of vendors is and where the most expense, or our biggest expenses are. So, I mean, I think this will be an easy thing to do every year.
And as Karen says, the code does specifically state that this does not exhaust our list, and what the code said doesn't exhaust potential conflicts of interest, and that you have a continuing obligation to report those conflicts as you become aware of them. So if someone in the engineering department is dealing with a new contractor, and they know that themselves or someone within the department has a relationship with them, you know, through their family or themselves, they would be obligated under the code, which they're signing, that they've read and they have understood, to immediately bring that to the attention, first to the attorney and then to the independent ethics panel.
Just so I'm clear, this is what we're aware of.
Yeah.
And I have a brother-in-law who's a CPA who
right.
represents hundreds of companies.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm not going to go to him and say, give me a list of all your clients.
And that was one of the changes we made based on a recommendation from Commissioner Jones. As he said, you know, you may have people who are family members, but how close are you? You have to put it in, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've made that clear. So obviously your brother-in-law is not going to tell you who he represents, but to the best of your knowledge, it's not a conflict.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it only involves immediate family members, not
right.
in-laws.
No. Does have
in-laws families. Are.
Mm-hmm. A brother-in-law is covered.
Okay.
We said, we define immediate family members as related by first degree, by marriage or blood. So, and then we define first degree being, you know, parent, siblings, children.
I've got brother-in-laws I don't want to be.
Well, you certainly won't be influencing any decisions to help them.
No.
You certainly won't be telling me if they have.
And to the best of your knowledge.
We are recording these proceedings.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Is there a motion?
We're still on the ethics code.
We're on the code.
Correct.
Yeah.
We just went
T11.
Well, we went to the disclosures.
The vendors. Yes.
Yeah.
I know I've talked about this. But at what stage I didn't, and I want to ask this, the role of the independent ethics panel, and I don't know if it's a subject for the code or the bylaws, because we cover them in the bylaws as well, but there should be some, either in the bylaws or here, some requirement that panel meet at least once a year to review the submissions of the ethics forms to the authority, and number one, to make sure everybody has filed.
Right.
Number two, to address any issues that come up with regards to those, because people may not think it's a conflict, but they're disclosing something.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to agree with Commissioner Jones and maybe go one step further. You know, here we are, we've been paneled a committee of ethics on ethics, yet we're making changes to our code of ethics with no input from that panel.
The panel, remember.
We have not yet impaneled.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should.
Let me address that. I agree with you. And that certainly can be something after you adopt this today, and we want to adopt it today because we want to make sure that in our Paris report we indicate that you're supposed to annually review your code of ethics. You've done that. We'd like to adopt a new code of ethics that we will put a link to on the Paris report. But I can also prepare an amendment to this that basically the chart tells them that they meet as necessary, but at least annually to review all the financial disclosure statements. So I can do that. As far as they should have input, you know, you're the policymakers. you determine what their charge and duties are and what they're supposed to do. Now, they will, as indicated in Ms. Cove, when they come, when they are confronted with an issue of a conflict of interest, they will review it, they will investigate it, and they will make a recommendation to the Ethics Committee. The Ethics Committee, upon reviewing their recommendation, will then make a recommendation to the full board. So there's oversight here. But as far as their input, that certainly in the future as we move forward, just like myself or any other member of the executive staff, we can always recommend policy to the board or to a committee to recommend to the board. And we're not foreclosing that, but I'm not really sure that the independent ethics panel at this point needs to have any input into what their charge and duty is.
And if they do it sometime down the line, we can address.
We can amend.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that fine?
That's fine.
All right. Without further discussion, is there a motion now to approve and recommend to the board the code of ethics, the financial disclosure statements, and the vendor list form to be used?
I will so move recommend the adoption, or the recommend that the board adopt the amendment to the authority's code of ethics, which will include the code of ethics, financial disclosure statements, and the vendor lists.
And we have a motion by Commissioner Carney, seconded by Commissioner Jones, to approve, recommend all of these to the board for approval. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.